The Old Testament reading is taken from chapter 65 of Isaiah, verses 17 to 25. Isaiah chapter 65, verses 17 to 25. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and a cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days? For the young man shall die 100 years old, and a sinner 100 years old shall be a curse. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Congregation, let's stand for the gospel reading. The gospel reading is taken from John chapter 20. Reading from verses 19 to 29. Glory to Christ our Savior. Reading John chapter 20, verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twins, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciple told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nail and place my finger into the mark of the nails and placed my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the door was locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hand, and put your hands and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ our Lord. Please be seated.
Church, let's pray. Our dear living and risen Savior, we greet thee this Easter morning, and we echo with Thomas, our Lord and our God. We pray this morning that you will keep our eyes fixed on you and fill our hearts with gratitude, joy, and hope as we receive your word. We pray this in the name of our glorious and resurrected Christ. Amen. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. A most blessed Easter to all of you, my dear friends. As we come together this Easter morning, we are gathering on what is considered the most glorious day in our church calendar. This is the day when Christians all over the world celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. This is the day we rejoice in Jesus' triumph over death. Now, over this past week, through our Holy Week reflections, we have journeyed with Jesus from the upper room to the garden and to the cross. And after the silence of Holy Saturday, we now stand at the edge of an empty tomb on this Easter Sunday morning. Church, Easter is the day that changes everything. At the cross, Jesus broke the power of sin and shame, but through his resurrection, he overcame the final enemy, death itself, and so gave us the promise of a new and everlasting life. And so this is why we can greet one another this morning, on this Easter morning, not just with great joy, but with full confidence and hope, even as we declare Christ is risen indeed. Now, I'm reminded of the late John Stott, who sums it up so simply and so beautifully, the main message of Easter. And he said this, "We live and die, but Christ died and lived." Well, for our Easter reflection this morning, I have titled it, "The Scars Encountering Jesus in the Upper Room." This reflection is based on one particular appearance that Jesus made shortly after his resurrection, an encounter that's recorded for us in John 20, which was read to us just now. Now, we are told that this event took place after Jesus' first appearance to Mary Magdalene and the other women at the tomb. It was on that evening of the same day that Jesus also appeared to his group of disciples. They were feeling fearful as they gathered behind the locked doors of the upper room. But Jesus came. Jesus came and encountered them there. And John 20:20 tells us that Jesus went on to show them his hands and his side. And Luke added in Luke 24:39 that Jesus also invited them to look at his feet. Now, in John's account of this post-resurrection appearance, we are told that one disciple was missing that evening. You all know who, right? It's Thomas. And so when the other disciples told Thomas later, about what they had seen, Thomas famously replied in verse 25, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." Well, we all know, John recorded for us 8 days later. We all know what happened 8 days later, right? This time Thomas was present with the others. And when Jesus appeared in the same way, he invited Thomas to do exactly what Thomas had asked to see and to touch the scars. And in that moment, the one we often call doubting Thomas was finally convinced that this Jesus standing right before him has truly and fully risen from the dead. Well, church, there's something from this episode that I'd like us to ponder more deeply this morning. Now, have you ever wondered, like I had, why did Jesus choose to keep the marks or the scars of the nails on his resurrected body? I mean, this is, after all, Jesus' glorified body, right? You know, perfect, transformed, and radiant. A body that can go through walls and locked doors. And yet, it still bore the visible marks and physical scars of the suffering that Jesus endured on the cross. So question is, why? Why would the risen Lord carry into his resurrection the very signs of his crucifixion? And that is a question I'd like us to sit with on this Easter morning, and to help us contemplate more deeply on the meaning and the significance of these sacred scars, I call them, I want to offer three reflections. First reflection is this: every scar tells a story of the past. Reflection number two: every scar can be used in the present. And reflection number three: every scar offers hope for the future. So reflection number one: every scar tells a story of the past. So why did Jesus choose to keep the mark of the nails even after his resurrection? Well, to begin answering this question, we must first look at what Jesus did with those scars when he first appeared to his disciples. Now, I've chosen to refer to these marks not as wounds, but as scars, because the gospel writers did not describe them as, you know, fresh, bloodied, still bleeding, but rather they appeared to be more like permanent marks. So when Jesus showed his scars to his disciples, they could recognize them for what they were. By the location of these scars, that is on his hands, his feet, and his side, which was pierced by the spear, they knew that these were the very places where the nails had pierced Jesus. And so I believe that when Jesus showed them his hand, his feet, and also his side, he was essentially saying this to them: look at these scars, my friends. They are proof that I am the very one who suffered and died right before your very eyes. I am that same Jesus whom you saw hanging on that cross a few days ago. And so by showing these scars to his disciples, Jesus was confirming his identity and also reminding them of his story. These scars tell the story of his suffering and sacrifice. It is the story of his love for all of humanity. Now, one writer puts it this way, so if I may quote: "The scars on Jesus' hands and feet serve as a reminder of his sacrifice and the redemption he offers to believers. By seeing the physical evidence of Jesus' suffering, believers are reminded of the immense love and grace that Jesus has for them. The scars also tell the story of Jesus' victory over death and sin. By keeping the marks of his crucifixion, Jesus is demonstrating that even death and suffering could not defeat him." Now, friends, did you know that the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, also reminds us that Jesus still bears these scars. Look with me at Revelation 5, verses 5 to 7. Let me read for you. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." And then between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, John turned, and then he saw a lamb standing. And what does it say? As though it had been slain. And this lamb went on to take the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. Now that's how Jesus is revealed in heaven. Not just as a mighty and conquering lion, but as the lamb who was slain. In fact, throughout Revelation, Jesus is continually portrayed as the slain lamb. And so even in his risen, glorified, and exalted state, Jesus is still remembered as the crucified one. It is as if heaven will never let us forget that Jesus was slain for our salvation, and that will forever be part of his story. Now, what this also means is that when we get to meet Jesus face to face one day, we too will see those scars. They will remain as an eternal reminder to us of what happened on the cross, but also the depth of his love for all humanity. And you know something, church? It's not only in heaven that Jesus is remembered in this way. Do you know that even in sign language, this is how they say the name of Jesus? So, dear friends, when you look at the scars of Jesus, when you picture those nail marks in his hands, remember this. They are there to remind us that this is the Savior who gave himself for us. And they are there to tell a story, the story of divine love written in human flesh. You know, as I reflected on this question of why Jesus chose to keep the scars, I found myself most thankful that he didn't remove them from his resurrected body. You see, I used to think that resurrection meant perfection. You know, that means anything which brought hurt or suffering would simply be erased or removed from memory. But what Easter shows us is something much deeper. The scars that remain on Jesus' body remind us that suffering and pain are not simply discarded, but they are transformed. In other words, Jesus' scars are not just signs of his suffering, but they can also become signs of his glory. And what that implies for us is that whatever wounds or scars we carry, they can also be made glorious by the power of God. Listen to one of my favorite authors by the name of Sharon Galoff Brown, what she said about this, quote, "Resurrection means that even our wounds are made glorious because of the power of God. And our wounds can also testify and tell a story. The story of, this is where I suffered. This is where I hurt. This is where Jesus healed and offered comfort. This is where God redeemed my pain and suffering." Our wounds and our scars can tell stories that make Jesus' love and power visible to others, only if we have the courage to open our hands and show them. Sharon then goes on to quote a line from the beloved Easter hymn, "Crown him the Lord of love. Behold his hands and side, these wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified." Friends, every one of us carries scars. Some are visible and physical, others are emotional, spiritual, or hidden deep within. Now, I have a couple of scars myself, one of which is a physical scar. This scar is on my back, okay, just below the neck, and it's from a small procedure that I did many years ago. And when the scar was still relatively fresh, you could actually see the stitch marks. Well, every scar tells a story, right? So when my daughters were still very little, okay, they used to notice this scar on my back and then ask, "Daddy, what happened?" And I would tell them this story. "Do you know, your daddy used to be a big-time gangster. One day, my gang got into this big fight with another rival gang. And then someone from the other gang came and swing this parang at me. That's how I get this scar." Now, both my daughters are much older and less naive now. But in those days, you should have seen, they would, of course, believe anything, any story that their daddy told them. And you should have seen the expression on their face when they heard me tell this story. Well, some scars we can laugh about, but others we simply can't, because they are more painful and deeply personal. And my wife, May, and I, we carry a scar that's like that. In August 1991, our first child, Jed, was born. But just 2 months later, he passed away. Jed had a congenital heart defect. And during the pregnancy, the doctor actually recommended abortion. But we chose to carry the baby to full term because it was the right thing to do. We wanted to give Jed every chance that medical science, but more importantly, God, could give him. It was a very difficult and painful period of our life. That time was filled with countless hospital visits, medical uncertainty, and emotional exhaustion. Every day felt like a roller coaster of hope and then heartbreak. And even now, more than 30 years later, the scar from that season can still feel raw at times. But it has remained what I call a sacred scar, because it tells the story of the God who was with us. It's a story of how God drew near to us in our pain. A story of how he held us close to him when we were at our weakest and lowest. It's a story of how we experience his comfort and assurance, of knowing that God himself felt our pain deeply, because our father also once lost his son. So, dear friends, let me ask you this. What story do your scars carry? Are you able to see how God might be shaping your scars into something beautiful for you, or something that can bring glory to him? Our second reflection: every scar can be used in the present. Well, as we have looked at earlier, Jesus chose to keep the scars from the nails, and he used them to convince his disciples that he was truly their risen Savior. And we also saw how for Thomas, this was especially significant for him, because Jesus personally invited Thomas to touch those scars. And when Thomas saw them for himself, he responded, right, with the now famous words, "My Lord and my God." In that moment, it was the scars and the story behind the scars that led Thomas to recognize Jesus as the true and divine Son of God. So just as Jesus used his own scars to reveal himself to his disciples, God can also use the scars in our life to point others to himself. Our pain, our struggles, and the stories behind them, when they are surrendered to God, can become the instruments of his grace. And our scars can be used by God to witness, to testify, to minister, and even to bring comfort and encouragement to those who may be walking through similar valleys. You know, during that year when we had JET in 1991, I also lost my father suddenly, just before JET was born. My dad had to go through an angiogram, but his body somehow reacted badly to the dye that was used for the procedure. It led to multiple organ failures, and he passed away in mid-August at the age of 49, and this was just weeks before JET was born. So 1991 was a year that left some very deep scars in our lives. But out of those painful experiences, God has opened up many opportunities for me to testify about His goodness and faithfulness. I remember one such moment after we had experienced a loss of both my dad and JET. I was talking to my brother-in-law, who's not a believer. And at one point in the conversation, he was just saying to me, "Wow, this must be a really difficult time for you all, right?" And I replied, I remember this, "If it wasn't for God, we would not have pulled through all this. It was really God's presence that sustained us, and it was His strength that kept us going." Now let me share with you another unforgettable experience with God after JET was born, which we will always cherish. JET was scheduled to go through a major heart surgery to try and correct his heart defect. And one of the most agonizing experiences for any parent is to sit outside the operating theater and wait, not knowing what will happen and not knowing whether your child can make it through. But it was in that moment, in that cold corridor, sitting on the hard plastic chairs outside the operating theater, when we felt the profound presence of God. You know, it was as if Jesus was sitting right there with His arms around us, and we never felt Him being so close to us. So yes, it was very painful, and it was very traumatic. But the scars we carry from that year have continued to be a living testimony of God's comforting presence and a reminder of His intimate nearness. And it is a story I continue to share with others, including in sermon like today's, because God continues to use it to encourage others. Oh, my dear friends, God can indeed use our scars to point others to Himself. But more than that, He can also use our scars to minister to others, especially when we are walking alongside someone who is going through something that we have gone through ourselves. And this is something that the Apostle Paul himself speaks about. Listen to what he said in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 3 and 4. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." You know, since losing JET 34 years ago, we have had the privilege of journeying with several couples who were facing challenges that were similar to ours. For example, some of them discovered during pregnancy that their babies were having serious health conditions. One baby had a congenital heart problem similar to JET's, and another one was diagnosed with brain encephalitis. And because we had gone through the experience of caring to full term a baby with medical issues, and also because we have wrestled with the fear and anxieties of not knowing what will happen when the baby is born, it was comforting for these parents to know that there is someone who truly understands what they are going through and who could pray for them, not from a distance, but from shared experience. Now, we've also journeyed with other parents who had lost young children. One couple we know lost their 11-year-old daughter after a short 5-week battle with illness. And it was such a painful experience for the parents as they struggle with the shock, the loss, and the grief. Now, in situations like this, what grieving parents need most is someone who will simply sit with them, to listen without judgment, and to hold space for their pain and their lament. And I had a chance to do that with the parents of that 11-year-old girl who fell ill and passed away. And I'll never forget what the mother said to me. "Thank you for listening to us. It helps that you understand us because you have also lost a child." So let me close this second reflection by reading to you something that's written by a mother named Linda Barrick. Linda and her family were involved in a serious car accident, which resulted in her daughter suffering a traumatic brain injury that left her with cortical blindness. But God, in His redemptive grace, used what the family suffered to open doors for Linda to minister to many hurting families. Now listen to what Linda wrote in her blog. "God can bring beauty from ashes when we allow Him to use what we have been through for His glory. Often our wounds change our destiny, and God gives us a ministry to help others. Your wounds may still hurt, but when you use them to help others, that is when they become beautiful." And I really like this last line. "God delights in turning scars into beauty marks." God delights in turning scars into beauty marks. So my dear friends, let me leave you with these questions. How might God be using your scars to point others to Himself? And would you be willing to let Him use your pain to minister to someone? My prayer is that as we open our hands and share the stories behind our scars, we will begin to see how God can turn what used to hurt us deeply into something truly beautiful. Final reflection: every scar offers hope for the future. Well, friends, as we have seen, just as Jesus' scars tell us the story of His crucifixion and God's love for us, our own scar often carries stories too. Stories of how God has walked with us through times of pain and suffering. And just as Jesus used His scars to point His disciples to Himself, God can use our scars to reveal His faithfulness and goodness in the midst of life's hardest moments. And here in this final reflection, I would like to leave us with this reminder. Jesus' nail marks and our own scars are a reminder that we can hold on to a great and lasting hope. You see, my friends, the scars we carry do tell a story, but it's a story that is still unfolding, a story that's waiting for a glorious ending. There is a day coming when everything that's associated with our scars, you know, the pain, the sickness, the sorrow, the losses, all of it will be redeemed. All of it will be made new. This is the promise of the gospel. And many scriptures point us to this hope, especially from those glorious verses from Revelation 21, verses 4 and 5. Let me read them to you. "God will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away." And He who is seated on the throne says what? "Behold, I'm making all things new." And this is the hope we hold on to. That one day, God will restore and renew all things. Well, May and I are certainly looking forward to that day when we will see Jet again. And even though our scar still carries the pain of our loss, we trust that God will redeem our sorrow because of the death and resurrection of Jesus. And so we live with that great hope, the hope that we will one day be reunited with Jed in a place where there shall be no more death, no more sickness, no more tears, and no more pain. Now, I have a friend who lost his 13-year-old son under very tragic circumstances just a few years ago. And he shared with me that although the scars are still very raw, Jesus has been comforting him, gently holding him and giving him hope. And one of the ways God has spoken to him is through a song. And let me share with you a few lines from this song, from the chorus of the song that's titled Scars in Heaven. And that's sung by the group Casting Crowns. Let me read the lines for you. The only scars in heaven, they won't belong to you and me. There'll be no such thing as broken, and all the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now is even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven are on the hands that hold you now. So, dear friends, indeed, the only scars in heaven are on the hands of the one who is holding the hands of those loved ones whom we have lost. And it's those same nail-pierced hands that are holding your hands and mine as we continue walking through this difficult earthly life. That's His promise to us, that no matter how deep our scars may be, we never walk alone. So let me now close our reflection with a song that's titled Jesus of the Scars. And I hope these lyrics will serve as God's invitation to you to keep walking with our risen Lord, even as He walks with us as Jesus of the Scars. Can we have the song?
If we have never sought, we seek Thee now. We must have sight of thorn pricks on Thy brow. Thine eyes burn through the dark, our only stars. We must have Thee, O Jesus of the Scars. The heavens frighten us, they are too calm. Our wounds are hurting us, where is the balm? In all the universe, we have no place. Lord Jesus, by Thy scars we claim Thy grace. We must have Thee, O Jesus of the Scars. We must have Thee, O Jesus of the Scars. If when the doors are shut, Thou draw us near, we know today what wounds are, have no fear. Only reveal those hands, that side of Thine. Show us Thy scars, we know the countersign. We must have Thee, O Jesus of the Scars. We must have Thee, O Jesus of the Scars. The other gods were strong, but Thou was weak. But to our wounds, only God's wounds can speak. They rode, but Thou did stumble to a throne. And not a God has wounds but thou alone. We must have thee, O Jesus of the scars. We must have thee, O Jesus of the scars. And he has us, O Jesus of the scars.
Let's pray, shall we? Thank you for your promise that before we come to that day and that place where there will be no more tears, pain, suffering, or death, your promise is that as Jesus of the scars, you're holding our hands and you're walking with us. Help us fix our eyes on you, dear Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.